Welcome, Knicks fans, to episode 44 of the Worldwide Knicks Podcast, or as I affectionately am calling it, the Rafa Vent Session. I was going to say the Rafa Vent Hour, but I don't know if we're going to go a full hour. We might, but we might not. But welcome, everybody, to another episode of the pod where we discuss the comings and goings of a very frustrating basketball team in the New York Knicks. This week, you know, we have the team at full staff per use here. So myself, Alex, Rafa, how are you guys doing on this Sunday night?
I'm okay, actually, Omar.
I'm all right. Yeah.
This is my 5 seconds this week, and then I'll hand over to Rafa, so you can have the rest of the pod after this. So, yeah, I'm not too bad.
I'm just going to wait my time. When it's my time to talk, I will let it go. I'm not going to start because I'm drinking. So, yeah, shout out to Mario.
I was just
going to
say.
Knicks fans Walding, man.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Mario. Yeah, shout out to Mario.
If you take those headphones off, Rafa, you steam coming out your ears.
No, I'm just keeping it all in. I'm just keeping everything in.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to call that out to if people are listening to audio, you know, it's just like, you know, painting a visual for you that the Rafa has the drink ready. It's good to go. And yeah, we're ready to rock. But Knicks are coming off a 2-2 week. Wins against Minnesota and Detroit. And a drubbing against the Brooklyn Nets. And then they lost this afternoon to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who I think, what's that guy's? They're still hitting threes. I'm sorry. So, you know, a very up and down week for the standard of this team. And, you know, a lot of interesting moments, but a lot of head-scratching, frustrating moments as well. So I guess let's just dive into it. You know, I mentioned that this team has went 2-2. They're now 6-7 on the year. And the funny thing is, you know, a lot of people are mad, right? They're talking about, you know, blow the team up, have the pitchforks out. Everybody's angry. And at the beginning of this season, you know, we kind of all, I think, you know, collectively, maybe as Knicks fans as well, we're like, okay, this team is going to be fighting for a play-in spot. They're going to be hovering around 500 the entire year. And sure enough, they are 6-7, hovering around 500, you know, still obviously in the mix for those play-in spots. And statistically, at the middle of the pack as well, you know, offensive efficiency, defensive rating, stuff like that, they're all like 16th, 17th, 15th in the league. So they are mediocre, and we know this. But you're seeing people that are mad that they're mediocre when they were expecting them to be mediocre. So I guess what's the disconnect here when you expect a team to be mediocre and they fulfill your expectations, but then you still want to be mad and blow it all up? So I guess, Alex, what's your thoughts on that as a whole and on the Knicks being so mediocre 13 games into this season?
Actually going to take it back quite a lot further than I was initially thinking, because I mean, I said on Twitter the other day that, you know, we are only a couple of years removed from, you know, a 17 and a 21 season win seasons, you know, and if people think that we're seriously going to jump up to being top, you know, a playoff team, contending team, whatever you want to call it, in those short years after the kind of turmoil that the, you know, the everything that we've gone through. Got a whole new front office in, got a new coach in, got effectively a whole new roster in, started drafting properly, started stockpiling picks. And, you know, that's not a team that's going to go anywhere fast, you know. And taking it way back, actually, to around the time that, you know, we missed out on Kyrie and Durant, the big talk about that point was, obviously in hindsight, yeah. But the chat around that time was that everybody, I think, was like, right, well, you know, why did this happen? Why did they not do it? And for all Durant's comments at the time, we looked across the water at Brooklyn and said the reason that they got those guys was because they built, you know, a winning culture. You know, they had a fun young team that, you know, might have lost a few games here and there, but they were fun to watch. They could get behind them, and all they needed was a couple of stars to take them to the next level. And I think everybody was at the time was just like, that's what we want, you know. And yeah, there was rumors of Atkinson coming in for the Knicks and things like that, and basically just trying to replicate exactly what the Nets did. And obviously it all went to shit for the Nets, and that's a different story. But just that idea that we wanted to get back some respectability in the franchise. We didn't want to get rid of, you know, LOL Knicks and, you know, and just us being a total laughing stock around the league. We just wanted some competitive team. We wanted to win some games, wanted to get that so that we could go to Stars and just say, look, we're building from the ground up here and we're building a respectable franchise. This is something that you can get hold, you know, get into. So to get to that stage, you do have to get to that middle ground, you know, before you start bringing in these guys to take you over the top, unless you strike gold in the draft somewhere around, you know, you're not going to be picking around the top five or whatever. So you need to strike gold in that kind of maybe 10 to 20 to 30 range and just get some kind of superstar in the door. And that's just pure luck, down to pure luck. We talked last week about not relying on draft and things like that. But I think what that 2 years on from that kind of moment was that we are pretty much at that stage, you know, and we've got loads of picks going forward. We've got a good, solid young team. There's no stars on the team, fair enough. But I think we all know that the front office wants to make a big move, and that is potentially down the line somewhere. We don't know what that is, but and I think we all agreed that we didn't want that Donovan Mitchell deal when we saw what it was. It wasn't the right moment, but we are where we are. And I don't think we're that far removed from where we really wanted to be, but it's going to require patience, and there's going to be huge ups and downs along the way. And this is just one of these kind of ups and downs, do you know? And I don't really see, you know, what by tearing it all down and starting again, it's just going to set us back, and we're going to end up in the same position maybe 3 or 4 years down the line. And, you know, we're then going to get frustrated again with some other coach that and some other roster. When somebody has a bad game, we're just going to all jump off a ledge and say, tear it all down again. Do you know what? And I think we just need that maybe 5 years where we're just like, let's try and build this slowly and sensibly and not make any silly moves and see where it takes us.
My key phrase from what Alex said is having competitive games. Our losses have been atrocious. Look, compare the first week when we lost to Memphis in a close game. Like, we fought, ended at fourth. Look at the game against the Nets. Look at the game we just played against the Thunder. I mean, games we won, like, we win against the Sixers. We struggled against the Sixers to beat a Hardenless and Embiidless team. My thing is, we are not. Okay, we are 500, like we said, but our 500 is, we mentioned it at the when we were doing the predictions. Okay, we are going to beat the teams we have to beat, and we're going to fight against better teams. We are not fighting against better teams. We are struggling against better teams heavily. In one game, you look like a different team, a new team with Brunson and RJ and Randall sharing the ball. But then there comes a game when we revert back to the old team, and Brunson doesn't look Brunson because he can't do anything. He just tries to do something else. Randall tries to play hero ball, like against the Bucks and against the Nets, going against Giannis and Durant. He is not that type of player. I am sorry, but if you want to go one-on-one, you go against Sabonis with the Kings. You know he's in your league. He's on your league, basically. And then you have RJ, who's has a 30-point game, then plays 19 minutes. This don't get me into that 19 minutes, but we are mediocre, but I think we right now we're playing worse basketball than we were playing last year when Randall was all over the place. Like, I'm not trying to blame Randall on anything because he's not the one I look at, and you guys know this. We'll get to that as well, but we are not playing good basketball. We are not playing good defensively. Every team hits a three. Like, you can put probably DeAndre Jordan is going to have a great game shooting three-pointers against us because everybody does. Like, it's amazing. Every player, there's always someone that who's Sumner? Who's that guy, man? Who's that from the – who is he? Like, dude, Wade hitting threes, Kevin Love having a comeback game. what are we doing defensively? Like, we have a defensive coach, the best defensive coach there is. Yeah, well, he was the best defensive coach there is or was when the three-point shot wasn't as big. We can't shoot threes to save our lives, and we can't defend the three-point line shot to save our lives. It's not a new thing. That's why I'm frustrated at this, and I'm not speaking for anyone else, but people look at this and say, okay, this is year three or year two, let's call it the second year, okay? We still have the same issues we used to have. It's the same thing. We're going into a game, and you don't know, well, you know what can go wrong for 3 years. Like, nothing changed. It's, players improve by themselves. Yes, individual play improves, but our team defensively, it's like, what happened? What's wrong? Is it the players that they don't know how to defend? Is it, I don't know, are they tired of the coaching? It's not like that they don't believe in it. It's like, are they, it's what we do this, it doesn't work. Come on, give us something different. I'm not saying Tibbs is a bad coach. Maybe he passed his time as a coach in the NBA. Like, 3 years, we have the same, still have the same issues. It's like, you're a good coach. Yes. But this modern new style of play, maybe it's not for you. It's, I was looking into Knicks paint because it's something I do. I was looking a YouTube video, how the Knicks failed with Carmelo Anthony. Yes, something to cheer me. I don't know. And there was something they were talking about that reminded me of this team, like with when we got Phil Jackson, he tried to implement with Derek Fisher, of all people, tried to implement the triangle offense. Something that was great at the time when it could have been used, but it wasn't effective anymore. I think we're getting into a way like, okay, it was good defensively. This defensive scheme Steve had with the Bulls especially were great, were amazing. They're not great or amazing anymore. So I think we're getting into this problem right now. I think this is a problem we have. That's why this mediocre thing is, well, it's different because we are playing so poorly. Instead of having great games, like, we lost by two, damn it. No, oh my God, we suck. We lost by 30. It's not the same thing. It's not the same energy the fans have. And I ranted a bit already. God damn it.
I mean, as expected, like I said, yeah, this is the Rafa Rant episode.
Oh, dude.
I guess my thing about this is we all, outside of the three-point defense, that's, I feel like, the thing that has probably caught a lot of people by surprise, because it happened a few times last year, right? Like, I always mention that game against Denver with Zeke Nagy. That's, like, seared into my mind forever for whatever reason. Or, like, a game against the Bucks when Grayson Allen's hitting threes, you know, that kind of thing. But it feels like every night now, you know, that even when they win, that you're getting, you know, a bunch of role players catch and shoot threes on the corners, and they're hitting their shots, you know. And, like, in this game against the Thunder, the percentages were just insane. You know, at one point, the Thunder were, like, 60% shooting from three, which is, you know, just unheard of in this league. But if you look beyond that, we know what Randall is. We know what RJ is in terms of efficiency at the rim and things of that nature. We know what all these players are. And Alex, you said it earlier, you know, we don't have a star player. We don't have a player that, like, when we played the Nets, it's a perfect example. We had no answer for Kevin Durant because he's one of the best players in the world. And, you know, they were without Kyrie. Ben Simmons, I don't know what the hell has happened to him. He's just like a shell of his former self. But they have that guy, and that makes them have a chance every single night to just demolish a team just because they have that guy. You know, it's the same type of thing with Giannis on the Bucks, Luka on the Mavs, so on and so forth. Jalen Brunson's not that guy. Julius Randle's not that guy. We know that, right, guys? Like, we all know we don't have that dude. And we have to get that dude, whether through the draft, through trade, through free agency, however the case is. Otherwise, this team is limited at making the first round ceiling. My thing is, it's like, is the surprise that people have. Like, why are you surprised that we're mediocre? Our roster is not a championship roster. And like I said, when we played the Bucks, we're talking about two different teams going two different places. The Knicks are just hoping to make the playoffs. You know, have a couple nice ticket sales at MSG for a couple home games, and then, you know, keep on going after that. The Milwaukee Bucks, the Brooklyn Nets, they're trying to aim to win championships. That's what their goals are, you know. So it's a different thing when I look at it. And you know, people saying, oh, you know, we're mediocre now, time to blow it all up. You know, that just also feels kind of counterproductive, because you do have to build a foundation, to your point, Alex. You do need to get – and, like, I think re-signing RJ, re-signing Mitch, eventually potentially re-signing Obi and quickly, those are important things for showing that, hey, we know what the fuck we're doing. Like, a team we're playing later this week, the Jazz, right? They traded everybody. But they had the foundation in place of, we develop players, we get the most out of players, and they're winning games. They're 10-4, you know, and so we don't have that. But the problem becomes, and, you know, I hate to be the person who's always shitting on our fan base, but we're always so quick to say, oh, man, this person missed a shot, fucking trade him. And, oh, we lost 2 or 3 games in a row. Fire the GM, fire the coach. We need Dolan to intervene, you know, that whole thing. And it's just, it's a toxic type of team culture that we have when we're looking at this team. And that's my problem with it. We know what this team is. We shouldn't be expecting this team to be the 96 Bulls. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should be expecting this team to win 39, 40, 41, 42 games. And, you know, that's what they've shown us so far. There's going to be nights where Julius Randle looks like a competent borderline all-star player, where Jalen Brunson looks like that, where RJ looks like that. There's going to be other nights where they look like dog shit. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's my issue with it, is like, and Raf, I understand your point about, you know, the same problems keep on happening. But, you know, you do need to try and maximize the talent that you have until a trade is made. And, you know, selling Julius Randle off for a bag of peanuts isn't the answer. Elevating Obi Toppin just to elevate Obi Toppin.
I don't think it is either. No, I'm saying I don't think it is either. I don't think trading the players is the issue. I'm saying it's maybe we don't have the proper coach to get these players into the right positions. I tweeted this this week, that the guy that is hurt the most with the type of play we have, or the type of the designs of the way we play, is Julius Randle, because he's put in a position that he shouldn't be put in that position. Are you telling me that Julius Randle has the power in this organization to just go against, we bring the Bucks, I'm going one-on-one against Giannis. I don't care. I'm going to have ISO plays against Giannis. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Does he have that type of power? I don't think so. Is he, any way, shape, or form, is he proved that he should be that type of player? No, we're putting him in bad positions. Putting him in a tough position, and the fan base goes through, okay, trade him. Trading him isn't going to solve anything if you play the same style, but instead of having Randle in that position, having Brunson or RJ Barrett. It's the same thing. I know it's easier, much easier to fire a coach than to trade the entire team. Of course, yeah, it is. But sometimes, and I use this example, look at the Hawks 2 years ago, I think. They were absolutely trash. They were playing terribly. Okay, let's fire the coach. Let's try something. Let's try this McMillan guy. I didn't know. Okay, I'll be honest. They reached the conference finals. They almost went to the NBA finals. Like, sometimes a change like that, it doesn't mean that players
are buying into. Rebut that real quick. Nate McMillan was a known commodity in this league. He coached the Blazers to the multiple playoff appearances before that.
Mm-hmm. He had coached. I just didn't know him. I'm honest.
Yeah. He wasn't Johnny Bryant, who never had any NBA coaching experience.
Yeah, I'm not, is my point. Yeah. I didn't know him. I'm honest.
They also had Trae Young as well, to be fair.
That guy. Yeah, they had that guy.
They had a guy.
Well, they had that guy, and they were struggling. They were out of the playoffs. And so, and they need,
do
they
you
need
think
to change
we have
there.
That guy? Is Brunson that guy, for example? Is RJ that guy?
How many times have we talked about, especially on the group chat, me and Alex, in those mornings where Omar's phone is getting hit? How many times have we talked, Alex, about how the strong point of our team right now is team basketball, sharing the ball, spreading the love around, trying to get... Why do we revert to ISO play so much? This play failed. This play failed. Let's go ISO. Screw it. Let's go ISO. Okay, we're down by 20. Great. Now we're back to team basketball. We're back to 10 and back to ISO and lose by 30. It happened with the Nets. That third quarter, we played some good defense, picked it up. We're down by 10. Oh my! I was thinking, oh my God, we're making this a game. How can we? No, we didn't. Lost by 30. Screw it.
If you're putting that on the coach, then it almost every time Tibbs talks about how games went, he mentions about sharing the ball. You know, if it's happened, then he will highlight it. If it's not happening, he'll highlight it. You know, and he's always like, we need to share the ball better. We need, you know, it's not as if he's in the locker room saying, hey, Julius, it's your night tonight. Here's the ball. Don't pass it to anyone else. Just pound it up the court and do what you want. You know, that's obviously not the plan. I mean, course, not that he's without criticism, but I just, it's something that's easy to say. And, you know, he's got to kind of be down on the players as well and their makeup as well. You know, you've got to give some responsibility to the players and in that kind of concept that, you know, if they go through that in practice all week and then they're on the court and they go back to their own ways and trying to get their own, you know, box score up or whatever, then yeah, some of the responsibility has to go on the players as well. I mean,
So you're saying, okay, the players should get some responsibility, but if the players aren't buying to what the coach says, or the coach doesn't transmit it well enough, whose fault is it then? It's all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Something is missing. I have never seen us change. Oh, we call the timeout. We come out of the timeout and we play better. Yes. No, we didn't. Never. Like, calling timeouts because the team is sucking, the five unit on the floor is sucking, and calling a timeout because you're mad at the team and bring out the same five guys doing the exact same thing for the next 4 minutes. Rafa, where it's...
Yeah, this is what I pushed back to you the other day about that. And it's a total natural reaction for any sports fan to do, is to always remember the negative things. That has happened. Teams have, the Knicks have come out of timeouts and had great plays. They've come out and played much better lots and lots and lots of times. But as a fan, and I say I do it myself sometimes, that you always just remember the times when it went wrong, because it's easier to spot. You know, if the team makes a nice play, you just forget about it and move on. You're like, great, well done, on to the next. And as soon as they do something wrong, it's like, oh my God, that's a total disaster. And that's the thing that you remember as a fan. But I bet if you went back and watched the game again and you did a tick and a cross exercise against every play, you know, you would have a lot of plays where you're thinking, yeah, okay, that worked well.
Yeah, for sure. I know there's an overreaction here with me. I understand that. It's just based on frustration. Obviously, we're looking at the game against the Thunder. We scored 135 points. So we did something good there. Mm-hmm. We also let in 145. Like, we did some atrocious things there. So it's like, if you need to improve in the league, you need to focus on the bad to improve them. Obviously, you need to give praise for the what it's doing. It's good, it's done, but you need to improve in the league. So you'll get mediocre and you'll stay in the mediocre line for forever.
OKC's last two games against the Bucks and the Raptors, they also scored, 136 points or something in both those games against two teams that are well known for being fairly elite at the defensive end. You know, they're hitting a real hot streak right now. So there's a little bit of that in it as well.
The thing too is, like, to your point about overreactions, the loss against Brooklyn, the loss against Oklahoma City, in two very different ways, are the type of games that just breed overreaction. You only score 85 points in the modern NBA, your team is trash, you can't stand it. You let in 145 in another game where you can't stop anything and they're shooting over 50%, then that's equally frustrating. So I get the frustration.
Imagine if that was combined, like you lose 145 to 85. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Yeah. That's real bad. Why are you even putting that out there, Rob? Like, don't even go there. Like, but one last question for you guys here is, you know, we talked about this team is just okay. You know, they're mediocre, to overuse the word. There's always a threat in the NBA where you either want to be at the cream of the crop or you want to be at the bottom so you can get a high lottery pick, right? You never really want to be stuck in the middle. We've seen teams like Indiana, Detroit, Orlando over the last decade kind of get stuck at that 7-9 seed. You know, Washington's kind of there right now where they're kind of, which way are they going, you know, even though they have Bradley Beal. Are the Knicks in danger right now of kind of being stuck in that cycle where they maybe make the play-in or make the first round every year after year after year? I know, Alex, you had mentioned, let's not, you know, overlook the fact that just a couple years ago we were winning 20 games. But I guess, do you guys think that we are in danger of the Knicks kind of just being stuck in the middle there without any chance to contend realistically for even a conference championship?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, because, I mean, if you kept the roster exactly as it is for the next 3 years and that was it, then yeah, obviously then there'd be a danger of that. But we've got all these picks. We've still got, you know, young players we can trade and consolidate the roster. I mean, what the roster is going to look like in a couple of years is probably going to be vastly different to what it looks now. So I don't think you can really say that. You know, if the team had traded away all its picks, you know, it had players that were either injured or underperforming on vast max deals or something like that, then yeah, that's the point where you say, yeah, the team's has no long term future and we're stuck where we are. We can't trade away these contracts. We don't have any draft picks, kind of where we were a good few years before this, now where we were stuck in proper, you know, purgatory or whatever you want to call it. You know, the team has a future, you know, and I don't think it's time to be kind of negative about kind of where we are right now. So I think we are where we are, but I think we have a positive future and that if it's done right.
I think I was thinking here when you asked it, right now we remind me of the Pacers before the trades. Sabonis and I think, oh, they were a playoff team. Yes, they were just that, playoff team. And they traded Sabonis away. They traded their guys away. And now they're building with Haliburton, for example. And Duarte as well. They're playing him minutes. And
don't forget my boy, Mathurin.
I was reaching there. But you see, that's the difference. They got their young players, and they're playing through their young players. Like, they're letting Haliburton cook. They're letting Mathurin cook. Duarte is there for defensive purposes. They have Miles Turner and Buddy Hield there, who are probably going to get traded. I mean, Miles Turner is on podcasts asking the Lakers to trade him, basically. So that's the difference, is that right now we can be a playoff team if we play well, but we're just that, a playoff team. Because it's what frustrates me, and revert back RJ Barrett, even if he is not a star, we are not playing to him or through him or him or quickly or Obi or whatever. I'm not saying start Obi, just forget it, but it's different. Like, yeah. Would you be, it's the comparison right here. If you would be winning, playing like this, if you would be, we're a 5-7 or whatever, yeah, we are 5-7 playing through RJ and quickly Grimes, would it be, have the same feeling as having 5-7 with playing through RJ to Randall and Brunson as well? I'm not saying trade him. It's not, I'm not asking.
No, it's different.
The team to trade him.
It's different. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
It's a different energy. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a few games last year. We've seen after January, we've seen a different team, a team that gave us hope. Like RJ improved, quickly improved. Obi had some pretty nice games. Randall was still there playing. Randall was there, but he had a different role with the team. That's I'm scared of us getting into that purgatory staying around there where a playoff team losing the first round. Yes, I'm scared of that because we are not letting think enough. We're not letting enough our young guys play, make mistakes, and let them play. Like this against OKC, we were having a pretty good run with Obi on the floor, making his mistakes. He always does. He's not perfect. Obi and Quickly on the floor. If it's 4 minutes left, why bring Randall again? Let Obi play. Let him do his thing. Like, we are in a weird spot. It's why I always say, I've said this for multiple times this week, pick a lane. Pick what you want to do. Because just playing with trying to make the playoffs with this team we have right now, well, we're a playoff team at first round and maybe a second round if we have an amazing first round and it's done. We're not winning a championship or a conference title with this team, with this roster. If you want to make trades, well, even if we didn't agree with Donovan Mitchell or we don't agree with Anthony Davis, who's been talked about this week.
Nice tease. Well, nice tease.
Yeah, there you go. if we don't want to trade for those guys, who are we trading? I mean, if you sign RJ Barrett to that type of contract, you're giving, it's like, okay, you're the face of the franchise, give him the keys. Look at SGA with the Thunder. He had all great numbers. When you look at those, they sucked. That's why he had such great numbers. Like, they let him play, let him do whatever he wants to do, trying to improve that. In here, we are trying to build something to make the playoffs, but we don't exactly let our young players play enough. I mean, we're in a weird spot. We need to figure out what we want to do. Maybe we could, you should, I don't see it. We should tank, trade everybody else. No, man, but like play a different style. I mean, I love seeing Randall fighting for rebounds and fighting for it, for everything on the paint and using his huge body, like helping Sims and or Rob Mitch getting those rebounds, because we're struggling on defensive rebounds because we're always trying to leak out and trying to do something different. Like, put in a little different perspective on the team. Like, let the offense and the defense goes through to younger ones. Maybe those guys can reach higher grounds than what we have right now. I don't know. I mean, it's pick a lane. We need to understand what we are as a franchise. Are the Knicks content in just making the playoffs or in waiting for the superstar to trade? Like, because we didn't trade him because of a pick or a player. Like, Donovan Mitchell wasn't it. It was RJ it. If he's it, don't play him 19 minutes a game. It's fucking stupid. Like, even if he's terrible, yeah, well, you paid him. You make him the franchise. You didn't trade him for Donovan Mitchell, so you have to play him. Don't bench him. That's makes you look ridiculous as a franchise. He's untouchable. You're not playing him because he sucked. Well, that's dumb. Maybe you should have traded him.
And I always feel like I'm going back to Tibbs all the time. And I did want to, I was saying tonight, I was like, I'm going to come on and I'm going to criticize Tibbs tonight. But one, I think it's funny how, like, Tibbs used to get criticized for running, was it Jimmy Butler into the ground, playing him 46 minutes a night or whatever it was. And then he gets criticized for running Randall and Barrett into the ground 2 years ago. And now he's getting criticized for not playing players enough. Do you know what? It's hard to try and find 25, 30 minutes a night for every single young player. That we've got rid of all of our old players. Taj is gone. Burks is gone. Kemba's gone. Somebody else who off the top of my head's forgotten. But Noel. Fournier's been benched. And Rose is getting hardly any minutes compared to what he was used to. Do you know, he is playing the young players, do you know, and yeah, it, right, it might be not the ones that everybody wants to play, but you know, he's not exactly obsessed with vets. Do you know, he's giving these guys, you know, minutes, do you know, and it's up to them to take it. You know, if Obi Toppin came out, Obi Toppin's getting about 20 minutes a night. If Obi Toppin was blowing the place away with his play, then he would get more minutes, but he's not, do you know, and he's playing well, but he's playing well to the point where he's a 20 minute of game player. And I think he's in the right spot where he is at the moment. I don't know if that's the player that everybody, well, that seems to be the player that everybody's obsessed by at the moment, but he is what he is. He's not a superstar player. He's, And I don't think playing him an extra 5-10 minutes a night is going to make any real difference to kind of his trajectory if he's going to end up.
Well, there. You didn't know, Alex. Julius Randle is the devil, obviously.
Yeah.
To most Knicks fans, so he's trash, yeah. Guys. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Listen. So here's my thing. Okay. I think after the Atlanta game, Rafa, you were very mad, right? You know, no. my takeaway was the season's still young. Let's just calm down. Let's, when we get 20 to 30 games deep, let's reevaluate, right? And I'm still of that mind state, you know, so that's why, like, you guys don't see me overreacting over losses. You guys don't see me, like, losing my shit over losses, really. And I think the mediocrity thing, when you're Indiana, you're never linked to a superstar trade. You're never linked to a high-level free agent signing. Your best hope is to strike gold in the draft like they did with Reggie Miller in the 80s and 90s. When you're the Knicks, you're always involved in those talks. Even if you aren't going to get the guy, you still are going big game hunting in free agency or in the trade market. Example, you know, yet when LeBron James was a free agent, yeah, they didn't get him, obviously, we know that. But, you know, they ended up with Amari and Melo, two high-level perceived players at the time. You know, the Randle signing was kind of a little different because obviously it whiffed on KD and Kyrie. But my point is that the whole objective of this front office was, step one, short-term, establish a winning environment. That's why they hired Tibbs. You know, that's why when they made the playoffs, they rewarded all those players with contracts, which in hindsight was probably a mistake. I think we all know that. And then they're going to say, all right, then we're going big game hunting. And they were in on Donovan Mitchell. They probably got a little arrogant, you know, thinking that nobody was going to come in, that they had the best offer. And then Danny Ainge ends up making the deal with Cleveland. So you're ultimately looking for them to, they're looking for that guy. They are actively doing this. This isn't the Kings, you know, where they're just hoping that De'Aaron Fox is a top level point guard in this league that can take them to the promised land, right? They are, you know, they're linked with Anthony Davis, who we're about to talk about in a second. They were linked to Damian Lillard a couple summers ago. So this team is making calls about players. The question becomes, who is the player that's going to take them to the next level? And I think that actually dovetails nicely into our Anthony Davis discussion. So as bad as we have it right now, guys, the Lakers have it worse. They are, last I checked, 2-10, saddled with the Russell Westbrook contract for the rest of this year, a rapidly aging LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. And so they have a big three, quote-unquote, probably one of the worst shooting teams in the league, and heading nowhere, and I believe their lottery pick this year or their draft pick this year is going to New Orleans as part of the Anthony Davis trade.
It's a pick swap. 23, and then they have the option of actually having either the 24 or 25 pick. So 24, 25 is not a pick swap, but they can either have the 24 or 25 Lakers pick.
If they don't pick this year, they have to pick next year. Yeah.
So the future...
That's 24, 25, yeah.
Future's not looking great in LA, is the point. So a lot of rumors right now going on that Anthony Davis is going to be shopped by the Lakers just to kind of retool, right? And I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast. He had one of the ESPN guys on. I think it was Bobby Marks. They were talking about potential destinations for Anthony Davis. They talked a little bit about Chicago, which obviously makes a lot of sense. He's from Chicago, you know, kind of a homecoming situation. They could get off of Vucevic, that kind of thing. But obviously, they also mentioned the Knicks as being linked with Anthony Davis. I'm going to let you guys go first on this because I have a lot of thoughts about Anthony Davis, as you know. So first things first, should the Knicks be in on a deal for Anthony Davis?
Probably not. I think it's a little bit like my feelings towards the Donovan Mitchell thing, where obviously you need to kind of pick up the phone and kind of see what the price is. I'm sure they've learned a few lessons from their dealings with you know, on the Mitchell trade. Personally, I absolutely love Anthony Davis as a player. I know you're going to push back on that, Omar, but I think he's an amazing player. Like, you know, it's a well-known story about his development as a point guard in college, and you know, he became this kind of big man from there. So he has point guard skills, but from a defensive point of view, there's pretty much almost nobody better in the league. Still, he's 29, 30. Near 30. You know, he's not old, but he's obviously
the knees are 50, man. Yeah, those knees are 50. Let's
yeah, I know that feeling, Omar. So that, maybe that's why I have sympathy with him.
There you go. Yeah.
Everything hurts when you're 45. Yeah, his actual play is incredible, and he'd be a great fit, but. It's the thing that bothers me more is the fact that, you know, I think he's got the option of becoming a free agent in a year and a half, something like that, same as LeBron. So, you know, that's looming as well. So if you trade big for him now, does he just walk out the door?
Yeah, so he's unrestricted in 2025.
Yeah, I think he's even got an option to come off that the year before.
Yeah, the team.
Yeah, 2024 player early option. Termination option.
He's got a player option. Yeah, so if it's not going as well as he'd hope, does he take that and go off to Chicago? You know, that's a huge risk as well. And if he doesn't, then if he extends, then you're looking at kind of some crazy contract per year, max deal. So yeah, I don't like the risk reward side of things from that. I think I remember back when he went to the Lakers, you know, the list that he put out that he was, you know, he was willing to go to. I think the Knicks were just on there as a kind of bargaining position, you know, just to kind of, you know, he really wanted to go to Chicago was the thing, but, you know, he ended up in LA, you know, they gave a great package for him and, you know, he won a title there. So he can't really complain too much. So, I don't think the Knicks are really in play for him. I think they're just a kind of token name in the list, just as per usual for him. So, I don't want it to happen, but I do want to point out that, as I say, I think he's almost underrated as a player. Like, he's a fantastic defender, first of all, but he's also good at the other end as well. So I think he doesn't really have any weaknesses other than the obvious injury doubt, but... I think that's slightly overblown as well when you look around at some of the big men around the league and how many games they miss as well. So, yeah, sometimes you've got to take a risk with these kind of guys and hope that it pays off.
I guess my question then to you, Alex, as a follow-up before you go, Rafa, is the Lakers want players. They don't want draft picks.
Yeah, well, this is the other thing.
What's the package? You know,
exactly.
Is it Randall and Fournier? I mean...
They're obviously going to plug. They're obviously wanting to plug their gap in the 23 draft. If they're gonna blow it up now, does that mean instantly LeBron's out the door as well? You've got to think so. So it would be absolutely crazy situation if they did it now. The whole thing would come tumbling down. But they need to stockpile their picks again if that's what they're doing. So they'd be certainly looking for the next 23 pick.
You think it's a blow it up situation? Because if I was the Lakers and I wanted to blow it up, I would trade LeBron, not Anthony Davis.
No, but I think both would go if one goes.
I'm sorry. No, I would rather have Anthony Davis on that team. Like, because Anthony Davis is playing with a lot of pressure in the Lakers. He has to come on to play and has to play on top of his game. Like, imagine if he's traded to the Knicks. There's not the pressure to play with LeBron for the title. So he can probably take a little more time before he comes into play. And he can, not play 150% of giving 120% or 110, whatever you say, every time down the floor, every time down every game. So it's a different situation if he came to the Knicks. And if you're the Knicks, if... That's the thing. Even if you risk it, him walking in 2 or 3 years, whatever he decides, imagine if I don't believe the Lakers want to tank. It's like Anthony Davis can get them more players to fit with LeBron to go for a title run. If you want, nobody wants Westbrook. It's a weird situation in LA. So if they trade with the Bulls, who are the Bulls giving up? Vucevic, Kobe White. Is
Probably.
Vucevic and Kobe, like, you're looking at? You have Vucevic or Kobe and Kobe White, and you have Randall, Fournier, and Deuce McBride. I mean, it's a little bit better to help LeBron in some way. Like, it depends on what the Lakers want to do. But if you're the Knicks, you move on from two contracts. And we talked about this this week, Alex, again, in those morning talks. Are our best players Julius Randle? And to move Julius Randle, we need to add other assets to move him.
Yep.
Isn't it just the perfect situation for the Knicks to, if they want to move him and they can't move him without getting picks? Because LeBron doesn't want picks. The Lakers don't want picks. They want to win. It's weird if they want to trade Anthony Davis, to be honest. I don't know where they're going, but if they want to get more players to play around LeBron James, I mean, it's a pretty good situation for the Knicks to have a guy on Anthony Davis, who's a hell of a player, who's a great player if healthy. That's the issue the last couple of years. But again, the pressure of him coming back and having to play heavy minutes, like playing with the Knicks, it's okay. Let's ease him in. I mean, even if you're trading Fournier, Randall, and Cam Reddish, who the Lakers were high on, apparently. I mean, Cam Reddish was a bum, right? Like 13 games ago. Now he's pretty good starting for the Knicks, but 13 games ago he was the guy who should be traded. So it depends. I'm like Anthony Davis isn't going to win you a title here with this the rest of the roster here, but depends on what the Knicks want to do moving forward. Because if you bring Anthony Davis and Anthony Davis is still injured, he needs time to recover. It gives more time to the younger guys to play a little more with Anthony Davis when he comes back. So it's a different situation. It's a trade for the Knicks. It wouldn't be to win right away. It'd probably be to ease up the salaries. It's crazy if that it seemed because Anthony Davis' contract is humongous. But you move two guys in Fournier and Randle. So I'd probably take a step back to take two steps forward in the future with the Knicks. It's not.
But then if LeBron sees Fournier, Cam, and Randle coming in the door, he'll be off as well. So that's what I mean by blowing it up.
No.
I don't think you're going to get a good enough
Let me tell you something real quick, Alex. LeBron wishes he had Evan Fournier because they cannot fucking shoot. Okay, like, I know Fournier is in a slump, but this is a guy who can hit close to 40% from three. So he would welcome him into his team with open arms. Trust me.
Even Emmanuel Quickly.
Yeah, just guys
shoot
who can hit
Emmanuel. Shoot Emmanuel.
Yeah, exactly.
All LeBron cares about is winning titles, and he's just like, sees Evan Fournier coming in the door. He's like, yeah, nice role player. He can shoot a bit. He's like, he's not going to win me a title. So
does he, though? I mean, does he care anymore in LA?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think so? I mean, I don't think so.
It's all about legacy for LeBron. It's always has been, always about trying to match titles, wins by, you know.
I think he gave up on the Jordan thing, to be honest with you.
Like, no, but it's all about perception, where he is on the greatest title and all that kind of stuff. I think it is, you know. He's openly said
that he thinks he's the greatest player of all time. So he said that on like his podcasts and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think like
well, I suppose
LA if LeBron he can, is different. You know,
if he can get a title with Evan Fournier is his right hand man. I'll call him the greatest player ever. No doubt about it.
Well, we know that's not happening. So
Julius Randle. Now, but I have a question. You want to go, Omar, go. But then I have a question for both Omar and Alex. But go ahead, Omar. Just setting the stage. Go ahead. Sorry.
First things first, do not trade for Anthony Davis, okay? This guy, he's the opposite of Julius Randle in the sense that he can't stay on the fucking court. Every day, oh, I got a back issue. Oh, I got a knee issue. Like, this guy does not play full seasons. The last time he played a full season was like 3-4 years ago when we had the COVID shortened season, and he probably would have missed the games at the end of the season anyway. He missed half of the games in 2021. He missed half of the games last year. You're paying this man like $40 million, and he's only going to be there for half of your fucking games. And honestly, outside of the bubble year, what has he really done in the playoffs? You know, if he's supposed to be this guy that takes you to the next level, and he's like, yeah, we got to move off of what we have now. We got to get the guy. And the guy is Anthony Davis. That just feels like old school Knicks shit. Like, all right, let's back up the Brinks truck for a guy with a questionable injury history. And I'm not taking away his talent. You know, we know he was a number one overall pick back in 2013 for a reason, or 2012 for a reason. He, you know, he got a Supermax contract for a reason. You know, he's incredibly gifted defensively and a good offensive player as well. Not taking that away from him. However, he just can't stay on the court. So if you're going to just do that, then you know, what the fuck is the point? You know, and it comes to the package. Like, what are we giving up for him? You know, I think it depends on what you think the Lakers want, I guess, right? Do they want to rebuild or do they want to reload? To me, the Lakers have always been a reload franchise, going back to the 80s, right? They don't want to tear it down to the studs. They tried that with the Lonzo and Brandon Ingram era, and they saw those results. And what did they end up doing? Packaging those guys, getting them the fuck out of L.A., shipping them to New Orleans to get Anthony Davis. So they want players. That's why when they're talking about the Chicago trade, they're talking about Vucevic, they're talking about Ball, they're talking about Caruso, they're talking about Kobe White, they're talking about all these guys. They're not saying a word about Chicago's draft picks because the Lakers don't give two fucks about draft picks. They want players, and who's going to help them win today will worry about tomorrow when it comes. You know, so if you're the Knicks, you got to offer the Lakers players. Is it Evan Fournier? Is it Cam Reddish on an expiring deal? Is it Emmanuel Quickley, to your point, Alex and Rafa? You know, so I just don't see, like, if you're saying, like, you're getting rid of Randle and Fournier, for example, and you're bringing in Anthony Davis, does the starting lineup of inserting Anthony Davis instead of Julius with this team as currently constructed, does that get you past the second round? Like, no. And I've told you guys before, yes, we need to trade or acquire a star player in some certain way, excuse me, but that player isn't a big man. That player needs to be a wing player. A wing player, preferably, who could stay healthy and actually play 60-plus games a year, not miss half the season, and you hope they're right by the playoffs. You know, this is the same thing that the Clippers are dealing with Kawhi. You know, the availability is the issue. And that's why, for me, it's a no on Anthony Davis. And I know, on the surface, anybody that's listening to our pod or you guys are talking to me, you're probably looking, it's like, well, shit, man, you're out on Anthony Davis, you're out on Donovan Mitchell, you're out on Dame Lillard. You know, like, who the fuck do you want, right? And my thing is, you got to go after a wing player, you know, and those guys, I don't know, I just wasn't sold on it. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Raf. I know you had to ask a question.
Well, that was my question to you two, because you were out on Mitchell, you're not buying in on Anthony Davis, not saying I am. I wasn't that bought with Donovan Mitchell either, but who do you got? Who should we trade for? We had all those assets. What are we trading for? So you're saying you want to get rid of a wing player. Is RJ doomed in this team getting get traded? Is the guy the wing player of the future coming in going to win a title with Julius Randle and Brunson? Is that it? Randle and Brunson the 2 and 3 to the fading one that we want to get? Is this it? Because, I mean,
Alex, I'll let you know to answer that first.
Who are we waiting for?
Jimmy Butler, obviously. No, I don't know. I totally agree. I mean, it's the most valuable position you can get in the league these days, with the point guard position has been kind of diluted a little bit as to importance. You know, we always say about kind of center position is one where you don't want to, you know, put all your money into, because well, we've already just talked about how Davis and Embiid and others tend to be very injury prone just based on the kind of body size, and the, you know, that the wing position kind of can generally cover multiple positions as well, which is very, and we've talked before about how, especially at the point power forward spot, the one of the major problems with the Knicks is that, you know, they can't play more than one position. Do you know, you need to be adaptable in this league. And you can see that throughout the league about players that you can't pigeonhole them down to one position. So I think it's a hugely important position for us. Yeah, I mean, Cam's done really well recently coming in, which we all hoped he would be. But, you know, he's not going to be some kind of star talent or anything like that. I think for the wing position is we've got to start looking about and seeing what's out there. But, you know, that comes as a huge cost, and these kind of guys is going to cost us pretty much all our picks. So it's going to end up coming back down to a Donovan Mitchell situation where, yeah, if we trade for this guy, then we're giving up everything and we're going to have nothing left at the end of the day to build around him. So it's a really, really tough spot to be in.
I look at it, like I said, it's a wing player. If you want like a type of like player that I would have in mind, like a Jaylen Brown, who's coming up into free agency in a couple of years, you know, somebody in that position mold. You know, obviously, you're not going to acquire Giannis. You're not going to acquire Luka. You're not going to acquire somebody like Jokic, you know, whatever. You know, those super, super, super high-level guys, you know, that's just – those guys just don't come available like that, you know. And especially the foreign-born players, they seem to be a little bit more loyal to their teams, it seems like, than American-born players. So, yeah, I mean, like a Brown-type player, you know, Tatum as well, obviously would be in that mix. And, like, you want somebody to me who's, like, in – still in their prime, either late 20s, early 30s, and, you know, could still lead you past that. Now, in terms to your RJ question, your job as a talent evaluator in this league is always going to be centered around understanding what a player is and is not. You gave RJ a contract under the assumption that he is going to be that guy. And one, you know, benching of the second half in one game in the beginning of the season, it, to me, is not a complete indictment on RJ. It's not like he's been benched the second halves the entire year, right? It's one game. Now, if it becomes a trend, it's different, right? But I think if you're the Knicks right now, you're evaluating RJ as, okay, what is this guy going to be? And the problem is you are comparing him with the guys who are in his direct vicinity in drafting, Zion, Ja Morant, and Darius Garland, right? That's who you're comparing him to. And if he doesn't meet those expectations, then he's considered a failure, right? But to me, if you come in the next year or two are coming up on a wing player that's going to be eligible, then you have to really look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, what do we have with RJ Barrett? Do we have somebody that was worth passing on Donovan Mitchell for? And do we have somebody who's worth passing again, just to use a Jaylen Brown example, on Jaylen Brown in this instance? That's the real question. And it's an impossible question to answer now because we don't know what RJ is going to become. And I've always said when we first started this, you know, a few years ago when Leon Rose came in, there's like, oh, we're going to be different. We're going to build like a small market team. We're going to develop talent. We're going to do all that. And they've done that. Obi, Emmanuel Quickly, Cam Reddish even have gotten better. The longer they've been in this organization, RJ has gotten a lot better. Julius Randle resurrected his career here. You know, these are like well-known things, right? So, but the problem is we have the muscle memory of being like the Lakers and just trying to retool and get the guy, but we don't have that legacy of winning championships like the Lakers do. You know what I mean? Yeah. So to me, it becomes a thing where you got to first assess what you have in RJ Barrett before you just throw caution to the wind and bring in Anthony Davis or whoever the case may be. Like, do you guys think that's going to be good for RJ's future development as, like, face of the franchise if you're bringing in Anthony Davis?
Couldn't you have that assessment of what RJ is before you give him a contract like that? Because to me, if you give a contract like this, because you believe in him.
Yeah, but Tyler Hero got that kind of money. I mean, he's not the face of the Heat, you know, so.
He's not the face of the Heat, but he's a big part of the Heat. of the Heat. As much as I think he sucks, he's such offense.
RJ's
offense.
A big part of the mix.
He gives them, but well, but Tyler Hero has more run with the Heat than RJ ultimately has with the Knicks.
You think?
I don't know about that, man.
I think because Tyler Hero, when you think about the Lakers, what the hell? The Heat, you know Tyler Hero is going to come out the second unit or the first unit, whatever he wants now, and he's going to ball. He's going to have the ball. He will be able to play his style. He will play around him through the offense. RJ doesn't get that as much. I don't know if you guys noticed this. I don't know. One game is a coincidence, but multiple games, 13 games of this is a bit too much, that RJ, Randall, and Brunson have around the same shots every single game. It's like, okay, you need to have those shots. It might be coincidence, but 13 games or 14 or whatever of coincidence is probably too much. Like, if RJ has 15, Randall has 14, and Brunson has 16, 15. They're always around the same area. Like, it's weird to me. I don't know if it's something they do on purpose or not. It's way too weird to be always coincidence. I think they want to share the load. Okay, my thing is, and multiple teams have done that. I've mentioned how Thunder did it with SGA and other guys. Like, let your young guys play and develop and screw up during the game, they will find it. Like, and RJ doesn't get that thing because we're building to try to make the playoffs every year.
Let me throw in a live grenade that might derail this entire episode. what if Tibbs is doing this, and also consider like how there's been a lot of lineup rotation changes?
Yeah.
What if Dolan had to talk with him recently, or Leon had to talk with him recently? Like, hey, we got to change some shit, or things are going to get changed, and it doesn't involve a player, if you catch my drift. So, is this like him sending a message type thing? Because it's highly unusual because Brunson didn't play the last 17 minutes of the game today either. You know, that doesn't go unnoticed, right? It feels like a little bit more than just I'm just benching these two guys.
Possibly, but can I just push back on one thing? I mean, RJ is the epitome of somebody that's being allowed to play through his struggles. RJ has been hugely up and down over these first 4 years. You know, he's been talked about his efficiency being all over the place. He's still getting played 34 minutes, 35 minutes a night. He has been allowed to play, and where people were talking in his first and second year about how he needs to be taken off and benched and this, that, and the other. And he was allowed to play through it. And that's through Tibbs as well. But also, I mean, on Hero as well, Hero is getting the ball because he's on the second unit. I mean, by definition, he doesn't have Butler and Lowry and all these guys to take the ball off him. If he was in that first unit, he would be exactly the same as RJ. Do you know, he would have a low percentage of the ball, do you know, and you just be a spot up shooter. That's why he plays with the second unit, to give him that role. So I mean, is that what you want? Do you want RJ on the bench coming off in the second unit, or do you want him just to run him? I mean,
RJ to me is the best player we have, because right now, not only he might not be the best player at this moment, but he is the guy with the most potential of the three guys we have, with Brunson and Randall. So we should play to that potential. Even if you want to trade him at the end of the day for a wing player, hey, look, RJ Barrett is a fucking great player. We can trade Giannis, and you still have a great player in RJ Barrett. You're not doing that because you're playing him at the same level as Randall and Brunson right now. I'm not saying this. I'm not knocking on Brunson on Randall. It's not their choice. It's what I'm saying. And to your point, Omar, of the sending the messages, Tibbs played Obi Toppin at the three this week. That fucking reeks of desperation. Like, he's doing everything. Like, he's trying everything. He's like, okay, I have my job here in jeopardy. I will try everything. I will throw everything at these guys. And so at the end of the day, I'll say, hey, I tried everything. It's Obi played at the three. What universe is this? But Chibs played Obi at the three. It's amazing. The thing is, you benched. Well, RJ Barrett had a 30-point game, played through struggles. Well, he's having his most efficient. It doesn't appear like that, but he has one of the if the most efficient year so far. 13 games only, yes, but he's having the most efficient year so far. I know Tibbs sees the film again, but has he really seen the film from last year? He played Kemba. Kemba was doing nothing out there. He played almost 30 minutes every game. Randall had some atrocious games last year. He still played. I mean, RJ was benched today, played 19 games for Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier had 0 points, had zero assists, had two rebounds. So you want to play defense, and you play Evan Fournier. Not Grimes, not RJ, Evan Fournier. I mean, if you want to send a message, maybe next time any other guy has a bad game, bench him. How many times has the conversation been with Tibbs and Obi and Randall? I'm not defending Obi. It sickens me to say these next words, but how many times have we seen, oh, Obi is cooking. Oh, he's going to get benched because Randall has to come in. Randall was having a poor game. How many times? If this is starting now, make it a trend to every single player. Because you're doing this to RJ with the supposedly face of the franchise. It's not helping your cause, Tibbs. I am sorry. As much as people turn on RJ, like Omar said today, it's like from game to game, people get on one player. Like RJ had a 30-point night. Oh, it's against the Pistons that they suck. It doesn't count. He has a 4-point night. He sucks straight him. So, yeah, I get that energy, but doesn't help Tibbs to. I mean, you ask most of the Knicks fan base, who'd you rather trade, RJ or Randall? Well, I'm sorry, Omar, but they will say Randall. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's
yeah,
like, sure. It's. I mean, I don't know what's happening. We look so
we
out of sync.
We don't know how to be a rebuilding organically franchise. That is the problem.
It's absolutely. Yeah.
We
absolutely.
Want a. We're a microwave franchise that is trying to learn how to cook a meal, you know, and
absolutely.
And that's just the case. Real quick, before we transition to the last topic for today's episode, we've mentioned Tyler Hero. Ironically, him and RJ have virtually the same usage rate this year. So I feel like RJ is getting a decent share of the offense. It might just not appear that way in certain games, especially coming off of a game today where he got benched in the second half. So,
imagine what it would have been like with Donovan Mitchell in there as well.
15% usage rate, if that, on a good day. So there have been a lot of rumblings about a couple of our point guards, our guards, and Emmanuel Quickley and Derrick Rose. Rose not getting a lot of minutes this year, only averaging about 12 minutes a game, 13 minutes a game. He's had a couple cryptic comments. Also, a lot of rumors going around that teams are calling the Knicks inquiring about trading for Quickley. Trading to me for either of these guys or trading either of these guys away is two very different things, right? So I guess when you're looking at the potential of one of these guys being shipped out, what does this mean for the long term of this team in terms of how they're constructing the roster, how they're looking to move forward, and what the vision is that they see at this position?
It's a kind of lazy answer, but I mean, it really depends on what you're getting back. I mean, are you trading Quickley for picks? Are you trading them for, you know, another young player? Are you trading them for, you know, a veteran that's not going to have high ball usage? Do you know, it's a tough one, but I mean, I've said to you before, I don't think there's anybody on this roster that's untradeable. I mean, you could maybe argue Brunson, but it's a tough one. I mean, we've always said that there needs to be consolidation on the roster in some way. Obviously, the guard spot is particularly stacked at the minute, the point guard spot. So if that's what you consider Quickley to be, he seems to have improved his game. He seems to be doing really well defensively from a defensive point of view. So there is there is something there, but his shot is off this season. But you trust that he kind of work his way through it. So I mean, I think he's a fairly valuable player. I don't think he's quite the kind of savior that some people think. But yeah, I'm not against trading quickly. Rose is a particular worry at the minute. I don't know what is up with Derek Rose, but he's so kind of, the mistakes that Rose is making are so uncharacteristic. I always see Rose as, you know, like a steady veteran presence off the bench. Do you know, the guy that you can just trust on to go and get you a bucket and, you know, and keep others involved and just a great locker room guy. But he just seems to be, I know he's lost a lot of weight, but he just seems to be so off and like making silly little turnovers and dropping the ball and tripping over his own feet sometimes, you know, and it's just something's not right with him. I love Derek Rose. I'd love to keep him about, you know, and I'm hoping that's not the beginning of the end for his career, you know. But yeah, I'm happy to pick up the phone for any player on the roster, to be perfectly honest, and just to see what we can get back. So
we'll like to put this out there that every time a Knicks player changes his body type, he looks so bad, so awful. Yeah. Like Mitchell looked atrocious last year. RJ looks slow this year, like so slow this year. And Rose, man, Rose is getting those 12 minutes or whatever because he's been really bad. He's had some really poor plays this year. Like he doesn't look like Derrick Rose. And I mean, can he play more when he's what? I don't remember what the game was. Probably against the Nets. He played like 11 minutes or something like that. And he had 5 or 6 turnovers or something like. It's been. I mean, Rose is supposed to be like you said, Alex, the veteran presence that calms that second unit. He's been very, very, very poor.
So, well, I know Brunson's there, but he's gone from 24 minutes a game to 13 this year.
Well, that helps as well. Like Brunson is not Kemba Walker, so Brunson can play the final minutes, the fourth quarter minutes. So that's one of those things. But the trade, I mean, look at it, trading Rose or quickly, it's going back to what the Knicks want to be. So if you trade Emmanuel quickly, you'll probably want someone else back that can help you. Because, okay, Rose is the veteran who play probably give you more than Quickly gives you, because Quickly is inconsistent still. So a top-tier Rose is that peak player that can help you. We saw that not last year because he was injured, but the year before. So if you want to win a title or you're going for the playoffs, win a title, yeah, Derrick Rose is probably the guy you want there on the roster because he's a guy who can close out games as well instead of Manuel Quickly. But if you want to go young, Rose is the guy to trade. So it depends on what the Knicks want to be on and what the Knicks want to do as well. So it's a tricky situation here because Rose wants his minutes, yes, but Quickly wants and, well, has to have those minutes to develop more. So it's the same problem again for the Knicks. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, and that's my overarching point there as well, Rafa. That is, what are you trying to be? I think if you trade Derrick Rose, as much as he is a catalyzing force and the intangible aspect of him bringing along the young players in the second unit can't be overstated. Like, you see moments where, like, Obi or IQ make a bad play, and who's the first person to tell him it's okay, you know, be all right? It's always Derrick Rose. You know, that's very valuable. But I feel like if you trade Derrick Rose, then you're saying, okay, we're going all in on our young guys. We're trying to free up more minutes for Quickly, Deuce, Grimes, Reddish as well, obviously. And that's what you're doing. Now, if you're trading IQ, it's a little bit of a different situation to me because you're saying, all right, we don't see this guy as you know, some sort of long-term solution. We don't want to extend him in a couple years. Let's just get what we can out of him right now and, you know, hopefully see if we get a protected first-round pick for him or some shit like that. And that becomes really telling to me about what their vision for this roster is, what they think IQ is going to be. Because you know what Derrick Rose is. He's a known commodity at this point. He's, you know, he's 34 years old. You know what he is. And I don't know, his comments the other night after, I think it was a Detroit game, yeah, where it just seemed real cryptic. Like, he's a little, like, questioning things about not getting enough time. And, you know, he's been bad. He's been bad in moments. Like, his shot has been short the past couple games. Uncharacteristic turnovers that he's making. And, you know, part of me is like, okay, is this just Derrick Rose getting old? He's had a lot of injuries, getting up there for a basketball player's age. You know, is that the thing?
To your point, it's, don't you find it kind of, concerning that the guy talking about his situation and his minutes, so basically complaining about his minutes to his coach, is Derrick Rose? Like, what does that say about the situation there? It's, if it's Rose talking to the media about, because if you're complaining about minutes, you're complaining about your coach. And it's Rose complaining about Tibbs. I looked at that and was like, hey, what? It's like, would you see Taj Gibson complain against Tibbs?
No,
I wouldn't see that. And seeing Rose talk about minutes was a little concerning. Think, like, hey, what's the situation here? Rose talking about minutes against Tibbs? What?
I think Rose looks at it like he feels like, I am still a capable player in this league. I can still contribute to a team by giving them more than 10, 12 minutes a night. I don't know. I mean, at this point, if you're saying, okay, we want to have the best players available so we can make a run to get to the playoffs, you got to keep Derrick Rose, right? Because he is objectively, you know, a really good point guard, especially one that comes off the bench. And he warrants playing 20 minutes a night. But if the idea is, okay, well, we want to really see what we have in Emmanuel quickly and see what he can become, then it becomes a situation where you consider it, because they've been slow burning this point guard development of Emmanuel quickly for a couple of years now, giving him the reins in summer league, having him, you know, kind of run the offense, have Rose play off ball a little bit sometimes. You know, they've been doing that a lot. And I think it's because they really want to see if this guy could play point for extended periods of time, as opposed to just a one-off situation of bringing the ball up the court. So to me, I think that the more likely scenario is that Rose gets traded, especially if they keep on, like, we got this, we're going to talk about picks in a second, this upcoming West Coast road trip. I mean, a lot of these games, they don't seem winnable right now, you know? So if the team starts losing a bunch of games, and let's say they're like 5, 6, 7 games below 500, then you start saying, okay, let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of Evan Fournier. Let's just focus on Grimes and Cam getting minutes, quickly getting more minutes type thing, top and get more minutes. And, you know, see what we really got with these young guys before, as we get closer to the trade deadline, right? And see what moves we need to make, you know, for the future of the team.
Yeah, just a little side note, nothing to do with it. I was, I jumped into after that, I think, which, I don't know, the game, the Hawks game. Yeah, I jumped into NBA 2K and did the thing, trade Randall, trade Fournier. I think I got Westbrook and the team. It doesn't matter. The team wasn't winning. And we ended up like, the Knicks missed the playoffs, obviously. And we, oh my God, I mean, to the draft. We jumped in the draft, but we jumped to second. So we missed out on Wembanyama.
So you got scoop.
Just that's what you're saying. Yeah, so just saying that if we miss the playoffs when we jump, we're not getting Wembanyama because it's impossible to do that. So, but just throwing it out there, the Knicks, the basketball gods wouldn't allow it. So yeah.
Well, we're still paying our dues for Patrick Ewing, man. So you know that's just it's an immortal debt, you know, that we will always be paying to the NBA draft lottery gods, you know, but. Yeah, we've been going for a while. Let's kind of wrap up here with some game predictions.
My fault.
Hey, it was fun. It was a good conversation. So, like I mentioned earlier, the Knicks starting a West Coast road trip, their first of the year. So they will be traveling to the surprisingly excellent Utah Jazz, then Denver, then Golden State, then Phoenix. So, Alex, what do you forecast for this coming week? Ooh, you got the heroes up.
Yeah, I see an 0-3 week.
Well, it's four, so 0-4.
Oh, sorry.
0-4.
Was it Utah, Denver?
Utah, Denver, Golden State, Phoenix.
Oh, I missed out Golden State, sorry. Well, Golden State haven't been
playing. That's the winnable one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, you also hope to pick up. I mean, we've not really beat a team that we were underdogs for yet. So, I mean, it's got to come at some point.
Wolves. We beat Minnesota.
Yeah, they were Gobert was out. I think they'd been playing poorly,
Anthony Edwards was out.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, Anthony Edwards was somewhere. I don't know where though.
I'm telling you guys, he wants out of Minnesota. I'm telling you. Yeah. In a year or two, he's going to
trade for him.
Absolutely.
Would you trade for him?
There's your wing.
I wouldn't even think twice.
What's that? Your wing.
I even want to mention him because I don't want to even fantasize about that possibility. You know?
Yeah. I'll go for 1-3 then.
Okay.
I'm not saying which one. I think we may pick up a token kind of, you know, win where the other team plays poor and we just step it up. So yeah, I'll go for 1-3 then.
Just imagine this: we have been playing some terrible 3-point defense. Mm-hmm. We're playing the Golden State Warriors.
Very true.
Just the image. I mean, I'm afraid to say 0-4, so I will say 1-3 as well. Because I don't know, man. It's the Knicks. You don't know if Randall's going to go for 40 points. Brunson's going to have a great game, not getting into foul trouble. What's up with that? I mean, if RJ is going to know going for a 40-point game after a 4-point game, it's always up in the air. I don't know. It's I'll say 1-3, so I don't say 0-4, basically. Just trying to be nice. That's me being nice.
All right, guys. I'm going to sound like an optimist. However, but what were we talking about earlier? This team is mediocre, right?
Me and Rafa were being optimistic as well, Omar. Yeah, remember that.
What are mediocre teams doing? Going 500, 2-2. So I don't know. I think the Knicks have a chance to, you know, hang with Utah, and you know, Golden State has been kind of up and down. I think they could sneak one from either them or Phoenix. I don't know. I think we're gonna get smoked by Denver. I mean, we always seem to be smoked by fucking Denver. But you know, I'm honestly at this point, I'm hoping for just competitive games. You know, I'm not. I just don't want like another Brooklyn game. That one was irritating. I can't lie about it. Like it was a wire to wire losses are so deflating. You never lead once in a basketball game is just incredibly deflating, and yeah. I'm hoping
especially when it's against them.
Yeah, especially against the Nets. You know, 13 and
without Kyrie Irving, I'm not even going into no. I will stop myself. Sorry, go ahead.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a whole other bonus episode where we just talk about the many tales of Kyrie Irving. No better spot to wrap it up than now. So thank you everybody for listening to another episode of Worldwide Knicks. A very ranty edition of the pod. So thank you for sticking all the way through. If you like the pod, please make sure to rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you could also catch up with us on Twitter, where you could follow us at WW Knicks Podcast, where we talk about the games, different transactions, different rants, things of that nature. Till next week, Omar, Alex, and Rafa, Worldwide Knicks. And we will catch you guys later.